I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Happy holidays. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. You might be listening in Vancouver at 101.9 FM CITR, or you will also possibly be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, and wherever you're listening from. Thanks so much for joining us today. We have a very special guest today, but before I introduce him, I just want to let you know that next week, the show will be falling on December 26th, which is Boxing Day here in Canada, and it's also the first day of Kwanzaa, so I'm going to be playing my Kwanzaa special, and then I'll be back to regularly scheduled programming live with Earth Angel singer-songwriter Anna Taylor on January 2nd, I believe, whatever the first day of the year is for the first Monday of the year. So I'm really excited about that. And today, without further ado, we have Dr. Bernie Siegel. He is the author of many books, but today we're going to be talking about A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. And Dr. Bernie is a pioneer in the mind, body, soul medicine movement. So I've interviewed him before for Namaste Radio, and I'm just thrilled to have him here for Synchronicity. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bernie.
Thank you, Marie.
Thanks so much for being with us.
My name too, Marie Bernard.
So thank you so much for being on the show today. And I just want to start out the conversation. Well, first of all, happy holidays to you.
Oh, thank you. What is Box Day, by the way, if I may ask?
Boxing Day.
Boxing.
It's when there's all the sales after Christmas.
Okay.
It's a holiday. I don't know exactly what.
Now, we have different names for those days here.
I think it's kind of like Black Friday.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it actually has some kind of meaning, but I'm not quite sure what it is. If you know what Boxing Day is, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, and you can let me know. Okay, so Dr. Bernie, first of all, the book, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. And what do you mean by miracles?
Well, life is a miracle. That's what I've come to conclude. Einstein meant the same thing. Most quantum physicists and astronomers will say the same thing, that, you know, creation is a miracle. And I think people need to appreciate how they can bring these so-called miracles to work for them. You know, that when you're bitter, resentful, angry, Monday morning, you know, they don't happen. You're more likely to have the heart attack or a stroke on Monday. Or when you're resenting and bitter and so forth. But when you get in the flow, when you let your consciousness direct you and do what feels right, let your heart make up your mind. I mean, I have a lot of expressions, but when you're getting into that kind of flow, then wonderful things begin to happen. You meet the right person. Yes, health, you know, is affected. But these are not stories just about health. They're about everything from, you know, the holidays to just accidents that you might say people happen, but turn out to be miraculous in terms of what it did to them and for them. And I, as a physician, you know, I can say that our Creator loves us. I define our Creator as loving, intelligent, conscious energy. So how do you get the love and the intelligence and the consciousness and the energy working for you? And it's getting into that rhythm. So when you cut your finger, you can appreciate it heals if I just put a Band-Aid on it. I mean, that's a miracle. Who figured that out? Or let alone, how does one cell create a human being as well as all the other creatures in the world? And the trees, the bacteria, viruses are all capable of altering their genes and surviving, and that's built into us. But we have to bring it forth. You know, I always say people have a lot more trouble than bacteria and viruses and trees in surviving antibiotics, vaccines, weather, you know, broken limbs. But, you know, when you think about it, why doesn't a tree bleed to death when you break a branch off? Because it knows how to heal. And those are things that are built in. And we have to bring them forth and have them act. And as I say, when you get into the rhythm, then those things happen. And let me put it another way. What I call, in the biblical line, choose life. You know, I place before you life and death, good and evil. Choose life. See, when you're choosing what's good for you, that does not consider everybody else on the planet. But when you choose life and your actions are life-enhancing and include others who you're concerned about, then some amazing things begin to happen.
So, Dr. Burney, now you've done a lot of work in cancer treatment and helping patients recover from cancer. And so would you say that when someone comes down with an illness like cancer, are they cutting off, essentially, the miracles in their lives?
What I started saying to people over 30 years ago was, what's happened last year or two in your life, you know, when they came down with an illness? Because I saw this in my own life. When we were exhausted taking care of five children who were born very close together, my wife and I both got sick, and I realized we were exhausted, weren't resting. We needed help. So we asked for it. And then it helped. Well, as a matter of fact, one of the women who really became like a second mother to our children, was a neighbor, and, you know, her kids had grown, so she started helping. And she called not too long ago to talk about something, and my wife said, oh, she's the one who saved our lives. And I thought, wow, you know, where is that coming from? But it was what my wife saw in how she helped us and let us heal. Now, a lot of doctors would say to me, oh, you're blaming your patients. I'm not blaming anybody, but I'm saying look at what could make you vulnerable at a certain time. You see, the expression in religion is about being born again. I saw that in people with an illness. They hated their job, a marriage, all kinds of things going on. And when they learned they had a life-threatening illness, they changed their lives. They moved. They quit a job. They got a divorce. I mean, all kinds of things went on. And then suddenly they don't die when they're supposed to. And I don't call that a miracle. Solzhenitsyn, in his book Cancer Ward, called it self-induced healing. You see, in his description of it in the book is a rainbow-colored butterfly. When I read that, I thought, yeah, you've been through it. You and I agree. The rainbow is your life in order. The butterfly is a symbol of transformation. So when you transform your life, bring order and harmony to it, some wonderful things happen physically. And again, a lot of people are afraid to try to have a miracle. See, if I don't have it, I didn't love enough, I didn't straighten out my life. No, that's not the issue. The issue is healing your life and bringing peace and happiness to it. The physical is the byproduct.
So, Dr. Burney, you mentioned how when you and your wife had five kids, you were all trying to look after them all, that it got really overwhelming and you started to get ill, you and your wife. But there's actually a story in the book where one of your patients named her baby after you.
She was a woman who had joined, she had developed cancer and joined our support group, which I'm still running. Because, you know, the word is potential. See, let's put that in the place of miracle. If it was called a book about your potential, see, what are we capable of? That's what I'm trying to let people know. And so why not give it a shot? Let's see what can happen. But anyway, she became pregnant. I got a phone call one day that she was in the hospital in premature labor and probably going to abort, and it just, everybody was so upset. So I ran over to the hospital, went up to her room, and the tension and the fear and the anxiety in that room was incredible. I mean, it was uncomfortable to just walk in the room. Everybody is, you know, this is tragic. I said to everybody, get out of here. And I put on some peaceful music, and then we did a guided imagery. I had her relax and visualize her uterus relaxing, slowing down, and the labor stopping. And within half an hour, her premature labor stopped, and she went through full-term delivery. And what I loved is They called me to say, we had a boy, we've named him after you, but since we're Irish, his name is Brady, not, you know, Bernie. And I laughed, but, you know, we're still friends. But you see, it's, again, the potential. If everybody's surrounding you with fear and panic and, you know, you're going to have a miscarriage, and if that's in your mind, those things happen. But when you can relax, there's enormous amounts of ability to communicate with your body, because I saw this with people who were under anesthesia. I would talk to them, because we hear when we're asleep under anesthesia in coma, we still hear. And I would tell them, you know, what we're doing in surgery and what I'd like them to help me with, you know, a slower heart rate, less bleeding. And it was amazing how they would respond to my words.
So, Dr. Bernie, I'm curious, do you teach other doctors these techniques? Because if I ever needed surgery, I'd hope that I'd have a doctor willing
listen,
to do that.
I mean, you know, I was on more famous talk shows years ago with doctors yelling at me. See, you're blaming your patients. You don't have any research. But nobody would fund the research, you know, like is a support group beneficial or your emotions, because they'd say, oh, you're nuts. I can't believe that. But as the years went by, I wasn't so nuts anymore. And some people did research to prove I was wrong, and it came out the opposite. And then we have studies about laughter and loneliness. And a lot of things, I always say, that the playwrights, the musicians, the authors, you know, put into their work because they see it in life, how retirement can affect you, how all the kids leaving home, losing your job, the death of a loved one. I mean, these are not accidents, you know, when they affect you and your health. And so when you begin to open to those things, then the research gets done. So, yes, the medical profession is changing, but it's far behind where I wish it would be. You know, it's always 20 years behind where I'd like it to be, in the sense of treating people's experience, not just a diagnosis, you know, with a pill. But, well, this was an ad I often show as a slide when I'm lecturing. It said, I was depressed. I went to see my physician. I said, you've got to help me. The next line is, he prescribed an antidepressant, see? And now I feel wonderful. I mean, that, I wrote to the company and the medical journal, and I said, don't you think there ought to be a sentence in there that says, tell me what's happened in your life, what's bothering you, rather than, oh, you're depressed, here's a pill. And they canceled the ad. But to me, that's the sickness of medicine, that we need to train doctors to care for people, not just treat disease and complaints, but to say to people, how may I help you? See, what changed my life and opened me to miracles was a patient of mine. I went to a meeting I thought would be basically for doctors, run by a physician on how to help cancer patients with imagery and how to empower them and so forth. I was the only doctor out of 125 or 150 people, I can't remember how many, I was the only doctor in the room. It blew my mind that nobody in the community came to see a physician present this conference. And one of my patients said to me, you're a nice guy, I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me, so I need to know how to live between office visits. And that's what changed my direction in life. I started helping people live. And then I saw the benefits of enjoying your life.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I want to talk more about that, enjoying your life, and especially around the holidays when sometimes we forget to enjoy the joy around us and get all stressed out.
Wait, well, let me say this with the holidays. A sentence from Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind. What if Jesus was the only normal person who ever lived? I loved that when I read it in one of his books. Now, I know he was smiling when he wrote it, but when you talk about potential, think about that. Say, we're all children of God. We all come from the same thing, the same source. So why can't we do what he did?
Beautiful. And we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. We are speaking today with Dr. Bernie Siegel. He is the author of many, many books, but today we're talking about his latest book, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a flash.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for joining us today, and happy holidays. I want to send out some holiday sparkle to you, whether you are celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, any other holidays that I'm missing out on. This is just such a festive, lovely time of year. The first day of winter is coming up in a couple of days as well. The winter solstice, is it called? Anyway, so we are speaking with Dr. Bernie Siegel. He is a pioneer in the mind-body medicine movement. He has been a physician for a really long time, and he's also been an author since the 80s, and he's just helped thousands and thousands of people, and I'm so blessed to have him here on the show. Welcome back, Dr. Bernie.
Thank you. I'm just thinking of two things. One miracle is that I even wrote a book, because I always share with people, the only C I received in 4 years of college was in a course called creative writing. I was very much an artist as a child and not into writing in words. And somebody walked up to me one day and said, you ever think of writing a book? And I thought, boy, that would save me a lot of trouble with all the lecturing and running around and doing. And it just evolved. I had nothing to do with it. He asked me. I said, yeah, I'd think about it. And it happened, you see. And I'd say that's the kind of thing, when you talk about miracles, just because somebody comes up and says, did you ever think of it? It happened. And then I had a mystic who was a patient of mine, and she started calling me saying, Bernie, you're going to write books. I said, no, I don't write books. Yes, you are. And she started telling me I'll write 3 books, 7 books, 12 books. And it's all happened, you know. And she's even brought me messages from my dead parents and patients and others saying things that had to be from them in terms of how they were expressed and what they were saying. So I've learned to live by my experience, you know, in terms of what life is like, rather than I can believe that or I can accept that. If I experience it, why should I deny it? You know, that even includes communicating with animals. I mean, all these subjects are okay for you, but we had a cactus spear in Connecticut, and I had met an animal intuitive named Amelia Kincaid in California. I thought it was nuts that somebody could talk to animals. But when the cat disappeared, I emailed her, and I said, okay, tell me where the cat is. And it's been missing for weeks. I was sure it was dead because we live in a wooded area. And Amelia sent me an email a few days later that said, the cat's alive, I can see the moon. And she described all our other pets, exactly what the house looked like, and where this cat was. And that, and her expression of where it was puzzled me, that it's under the house. I thought, that's how can it be under a house? But there's a stairway where the sides of it come down on both sides, leading from the door down the little hill. And the cat was under that to protect herself. And so, again, I can't deny, matter of fact, my email back to Amelia became part of a foreword of her book, because I cannot deny all the facts that she put into that email about the house and everything from garbage cans to, you know, other pets and names of people. And it was just unbelievable. And as she said, Bernie, you have to quiet your mind to get into the animal's mind. And you see, to me, that's a universal theme, the still pond. That's when the ugly duckling sees his reflection as a swan. It's when the tiger brought up by goat sees that he's really a tiger, when another tiger takes him to a still pond. And when you quiet your mind, then some amazing things happen, as well as your being able to know your true self.
Beautifully said, Dr. Birdie. And speaking of pets, and we were talking about cancer before, there are actually cats that can smell cancer in patients.
Oh, absolutely. And they know when they're going to live and die. We had a nursing home here where the staff knew that if the cat was in the bed with the patient, within 24 hours that person died. And it wasn't that the cat was upsetting people, you know. Oh, my God, it's in my room. I'm going to die. But this cat just knew, and it was giving love to the people before they died. And so they're sensing our chemistry, too. You know, they can sniff and know. I always say, when I'm sick and in bed, the cats will be on my chest, because we have a house full of dogs and cats, you know, purring and trying to make me feel better. And if I'm being lazy and just sleeping late, nobody bothers. And the one I love was, if I think of grooming them, you know, which they don't like, brush your teeth, comb you, and cut your toenails, etc. They all disappear. And all I'm doing is thinking about it. Yeah.
Oh, all you're doing is thinking about grooming them, and they're gone.
Yeah, and I can't find them. But as soon as I say, well, I'll have to skip doing that today, then everybody's right there. See, another, this also really happened. Our son is a neighbor, and he has two cats, and I take care of all the animals. And I needed to get them to the vet, so I made an appointment early in the morning, because when I put the food out, they show up. As soon as I made the appointment with the veterinarian, the cats stopped showing up for breakfast. For one solid week, they did not come out when I came and put the food out. I called the vet. I said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm driving you nuts and wasting, you know, your office time, so we'll just cancel it. I don't know what I'm going to do. As soon as I canceled the appointment, the next morning, the two of them were sitting there waiting for me. Now, that is not a coincidence, you know. That's consciousness and communication at another level, and kind of miraculous. But I would say, again, our consciousness is what affects us and the people around us. See, another study. If you had a compassionate doctor, you recovered faster from an illness than if you said, my doctor isn't compassionate. Or even, did your parents love you? Those who said no while in college, 98% had suffered a major illness by the time they were in midlife. And those who said, yes, my parents loved me, only a quarter of them, 25%, had suffered a major illness. So you see how love and all these things affect us and our potential and what we're capable of doing. And let me just, one more little anecdote that people understand, and I'll shorten the story, but it was a landscaper who was retiring, which is a tough time for people. He developed a cancer of his stomach. He told me, when I said, we need to get you right in the hospital, that it was springtime. I forgot something. Springtime. Going to go home, make the world beautiful. So if I die, I'll leave a beautiful world. A few weeks later, he comes back. We operate. I can't cure him. You need more treatment. No, you forgot something. It's still springtime. I'm going to go home, make a beautiful world. So when I die, I'll leave a beautiful world. 4 years later, the nurse in my office handed me chart. I said, he's dead, because he never came back. And she said, Bernie, open the door. So I opened the door, and John said, I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. John lived to age 94. I spoke at his 70th wedding anniversary to tell people what he was like and what he had taught me about life. See, he didn't go home to not die. He went home to make the world beautiful. And then he had something, and it's not work, see, because he's making the world beautiful. And he died after his wife died, when he felt, okay, I can let go now, and, you know, my job is done.
Hmm, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, and it's not an accident. I mean, he showed me how beautiful the world is. Yeah, people want a miracle. Here's how you do it. When you go out of the house tomorrow morning, say to yourself, I'm an extraterrestrial visiting here for the first day. And then look around you at the world as if you'd never seen it before. And you will really see the miracles. You know, whether it's snow or ice, or a flower, anything. I mean, you begin to realize the beauty and the incredible nature of creation. You know, I always say, why is the sky blue? Who decided on that? And, you know, yeah, I'm sure we have physical reasons why, you know, blue is transmitted and other colors aren't, but it just, how does it happen? Why does water, when frozen, become less dense and float? See, ice cubes go to the top. Every other liquid, when frozen, becomes more dense and sinks, these solid pieces. So again, it's the intelligence of creation. Keep the ice on top to protect life. And gravity, where did that come from? If we didn't have gravity and water went up instead of down, we'd all be in big trouble. But, you know, as I say, just look around you and be in awe of creation and what has been built into each of us, too.
Thank you so much, Dr. Burney. Well, I think it's time for another break, so I'm going to put you on hold here. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining us today. I just want to let you know, next week, December 26th, is the day that Synchronicity falls, which is also, it's Boxing Day, as well as the first day of Kwanzaa. So I'm going to be playing a repeat episode, which is the Kwanzaa special. So if you haven't heard it yet, please do tune in. I'll be playing music from Kwanzaa and telling you all about what exactly Kwanzaa is. And then on the following week, the first Monday of 2012, we're going to be joined by Anna Taylor. She is a lovely singer-songwriter, angel therapy practitioner, definitely an earth angel. And she's going to be live in Vancouver. She's coming all the way from England, and she'll be in the studio. So definitely tune in for the first show of 2012. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We are speaking today with Dr. Burney Siegel. If you have a question for Dr. Burney and you want to get on the air, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Thank you very much for coming out this evening. Thank you. You're far too kind.
So, to all our CITR homies, we dedicate this shout out to you for your support of our Fresh Beat.
You really knew what time it was during our 2011 fun drive, and we thank you for being so kind.
Big love and ups from your crew at CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And until next year, remember to keep it real.
Up on the tube. I'm just watching Pacquiao box him up. How would I know? HBO.
My address is 2904 Salisbury Street.
I can't understand you. You need to speak English.
Hey, Polly, that remark is totally inappropriate. I know you're new here, but this is a safe harbor office. We're committed to treating all of our clients respectfully.
What would you do if you were this witness? Safe Harbor Respect for All provides diversity workshops across Canada with funding from the Government of Canada. Visit safeharbor.ca. Respect for All. Pass it on.
Strength, dignity, respect, beauty, self-worth, safety, confidence, choice, hope.
The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day of Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help.
Beauty Night, because dignity is beautiful. I think I was blind
before I met you. Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope that you're having a lovely holiday season. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy everything, happy winter. And today we are speaking with Dr. Burney Siegel. He is the author of A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Burney.
Hi, thank you. I don't know if you have a question, but I was thinking of something mystical that happened to me that many years ago, when I was going through turmoil as a doctor because of not being trained to deal with loss and all the things you couldn't cure and so forth. And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross asked me to draw a picture for her, and I did, and I was amazed at how much she knew about my life. An example was she asked me what I was covering up, and I said, why do you ask that? She said, because you put snow on a mountain. And I said, yeah, it's a mountain with snow. She said, Bernie, the page is white. You took a white crayon and added a layer, so what are you covering up? And it was all my feelings. But in the picture, there's an inner guide that I met in a meditation. You know, you're walking down a path, someone comes to meet you, and he's got a full head of hair, a beard, and a gown, and his name was George. A couple of years later, I'm giving a lecture, realizing I wasn't giving the lecture. It was coming, as my wife says, from God knows where. But, you know, it had nothing to do with the outline, my notes, or anything. I just talked for a couple hours because I realized it's better than what you put together. And afterwards, a woman came up and said, I've heard you before. That was better than usual. And the next person said, standing in front of you for the entire lecture was this man, so I drew his picture for you. And it was George. And he's got a big beard. I mean, you know, there's no accident when I say it's him, when you see what this person drew. And after speaking at a funeral a year or so later, and it's interesting, both these things happen in the same building, which was a spiritual retreat. There was a funeral there for a Christian friend of mine. I spoke on Sunday. And a mystic named Olga Worrell knew him, was there. She came up to me standing in an empty hallway and said to me, Bernie, are you Jewish? I said, why are you asking? Because I speak at a Christian funeral? She said, no, there's a man standing next to you. And it was George. She described him again. Now, you know, you'd say, how does that happen? How could that be? But again, it's, you know, something I've experienced. And when somebody hands you a picture, and I have drawn a picture also of him, and you look at them, you know it's the same fella. And, you know, so I think that this is true of all of us. Whether you call it consciousness, your spirit, your guide, whatever, but it is there if we can communicate with it and get to be our true selves. And that's not easy. You know, hey, I got troubles, you know, in my life with family, kids, grandchildren. Things are happening. But when you can, again, get back to that, how do I quiet my mind, whether it's meditation, yoga, whatever, I hear voices. And I follow them when I know it's coming from a higher source, because some wonderful things have happened when I have responded to that message that I hear.
So, Dr. Bernie, let's talk about, because you have some books about clearing your mind and mindfulness and meditation. Mm. So, and you mentioned at the top of the hour about getting in the flow of life, and that's where the miracles happen, when you're in the flow. So how do you get into that flow?
Well, that's what I like. When you live in your heart, magic happens. You see, two of the stories in the book, and many of them touch me. Well, let me say three of them. One, as a couple is engaged, the woman develops cancer and, of course, starts going through all the treatments and what's happening, and she says to her future husband, because he's an unusual guy who doesn't immediately take off and leave her, which a lot of men do when their wife or girlfriend develops cancer. But she said to him, I'm sorry, I've become such a burden. And he said, when love is involved, there are no burdens. So follow your love. Say, what would you love to do? And that includes who you marry, what jobs you take, volunteer, whatever it is. Now, in the stories, one of them are a couple who were discharged from the Army and are going to drive from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast and home again and act like tourists and enjoy the trip. Their car, every time they come to a hill, starts slowing down. It just doesn't have any pep or energy. And so they're holding up traffic and causing problems. And to me, this is where the key issue is. To stop troubling people, they decide to drive at night, which makes their day a problem. You know, they can't visit places, celebrate, because they're sleeping during the day. But what they do is get on that schedule. And one night, they're driving through the state of Nevada. In the middle of the night, they come to a hill. They notice a car behind them. So they pull off the road as their car slows down. The car behind them stops next to them, which makes them nervous. But the man comes over and says, "You are driving a Pontiac Le Mans. I am one of the original designers of the car. I know what is wrong with your car. It has to do with a hose that's sucking too much gas, and your engine is not having enough fuel." And he sticks a pencil in this tube and cures the problem. And they drive home and have a wonderful trip. Another is a child who moves to Germany with her family and learns that if you put your shoes out on Christmas Eve, Santa fills them with good things. So before she goes to bed, she puts her shoes out. Now, her parents don't know she's doing this. She tells them in the morning she's going to go see what Santa left for her. And they say, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Oh, I put my shoes out." And they're thinking, "Oh, the poor kid, she'll open the door. There's going to be a pair of shoes with nothing in them." They open the door, and it's filled with chocolate and other things.
Wow, really?
And they're all stunned. What they learned later was, which disappointed her parents, but not her, because she still felt, you see, it was this miracle. The landlord of the building was walking out of the building, saw the shoes, and knew why they were there. So he filled them with all these good things. And that's the gift, you see. The couple is caring about other people, and so they have their miracle. If they said, "Ah, we'll drive during the day, screw other people. If we're slowing down traffic, that's their problem." No, we want to be nice to people. We'll go at night. Then they meet him. And just like this little girl who has faith and believes, yeah, her faith is reassured, and the gift is there for her.
I love that, Dr. Burney. And it doesn't matter that the candies didn't come from Santa Claus. It's just the miracle of generosity.
You know, it's like saying that the landlord was Santa's helper, if you know what I mean. You know, it's like no coincidence is the best way of saying it. It's not an accident that he shows up and has that happen.
I love that. So I'm curious on the topic of Santa Claus and Christmas, what did you tell your kids about Santa Claus?
Oh, we celebrated, you know, Santa coming, and I used to leave, I'm laughing because I used to leave notes for the kids from Santa, you know, telling them, "You better be nice with your brother and, you know, enough fighting, or next year I'm not going to bring you anything." And they would, because, you see, with five kids, I have to tell you this too, I would play Santa at the local school. And because of the five kids, I knew all the other kids, see. So I would dress up as Santa and go there. And when I'd walk into a class and look over and say, "Jimmy, you have to be nice to your sister. I'm not coming on Christmas." You know, and this little boy would go, "Oh, my, how did Santa know about that?" And our kids knew it was me, and they had such a good time watching how the other kids reacted. But it was the spirit, you know, of Santa. Because I grew up with a Jewish history, you might say, and background. But see, Santa, is to me, is not about a religion. It's a gift. It's something to think about. It's, you know, the spirit that comes with it, how we help each other. So, yeah, our kids would have gifts and notes from Santa. You know, as they grew up, obviously they learned that Santa wasn't real. It was Daddy, you know, and Mommy leaving things for us. But still, it was the joy of the event and all the holidays and that we just celebrated together. So, you know, matter of fact, see, my sense of humor, I was at the post office the other day, and, you know, Christmas time, everybody's lined up mailing things. So I walked in and said, "That's why I'm an atheist." And everybody looked at me. I said, "Yeah, then I don't have to mail packages." And they all, you know, then everybody lightens up and laughs and I'm kidding. But it's keeping the child in you alive. I think that's when more miracles happen to all of us.
And I love that, keeping the child in you alive. And let's talk more about your book, because we're here to promote it, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. And, you know, when you open your heart to possibilities and love and miracles, that's when things really start happening in your life. So do you recommend people read this book from cover to cover, or just open it when they're looking for guidance?
What I do is just And I mean this. I've read it more than once. I can't remember every story in it, so it's fun to reread it. And they're short, you know, stories from one or two pages, maybe four or five. But and some of them, and then I have what I call my reflections, you know, before and after each chapter. I write about what's in it and what we can learn from it and have it happen. And so, yes, what I would say to people is pick it up, start on page one, and every night before you go to bed, read a story or two, because it puts you in a good place, and I think you'll have a better night's rest and better dreams. Several of them, as I said, we have a house full of animals. We always have, always rescuing everything. Several of them are about animals. One I was just thinking about, because, again, the mystical. This woman had a dog. I don't remember all the little details, but that she was really close to, and it dies. And something led her to adopt two other dogs. But she just can't connect with them. You know, it's like they don't replace her lost dog. And one day she said she can't find them in the house. And she had buried her dog in her yard, which is something I do with all our pets, so they're still with us. But there's nothing there. I mean, these dogs don't know. But she said, I can't find the dogs. I look out in the yard, and the two of them are lying on the grave of my other dog, looking at me and asking me to please treat them the way I did the other dog. I mean, and again, it just changed her, touched her heart that they're out there. And so it changed their relationship and changed her. And I think that's such a, you know, it just touches my heart. And how the animals teach us, too. The animals and the children, I think, are the ones who teach us how to have miracles, because they're not worrying about tomorrow and next year, but about living in the moment, and then the wonderful things happen.
Did Dr. Burney, did you hear the story about, I'm not sure if it was in Africa or it was some kind of wildlife refuge where there was a dog and an elephant?
Oh, yeah.
That were friends.
I've seen that. Because I think somebody sent it to me, where the elephant rubs his tummy with her foot. Is that the one?
Something like that, yeah. And then one of them got sick, and so they were separated. Hmm. And then the other, I think it was the dog, was really sad. And then they ended up putting them back to where they could interact, and yeah, they got better.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens in people. It happens in animals. I mean, I've seen people in you know, the intensive care unit who were dying in the hospital. The family comes to say goodbye. Nothing happens. Their dog is brought in with permission to say goodbye. That's when the person woke up and didn't die. You know, when the dog is put on somebody's bed or chest. And I always say, you know, the dogs and the cats do better than your wife and children when they're brought in. Because, see, there's no resentment, bitterness, problems, you know, with the pets. We're more forgiving of them and they of us. And some studies, again, the benefit, you see, is it a miracle? You have a heart attack. Go home to a house with a dog. Go home to a house without a dog. And in this study, if you had a dog in the house, a year later, 5% of the people had died. If you had no dog, 26% of the people had died.
Wow.
Again, what you realize, because studies have been done, if you pet a dog, I would presume any furry creature, your oxytocin and serotonin levels go up. Those are bonding hormones, but also much more healing hormones, in a sense. And there's a story in there about a lady with colitis who, during the pregnancy, no problems at all. And I think that has to do, again, with the hormones in the body, you know, to accept this new part of you and not to attack your own body. And then the woman after the pregnancy, you know, and she delivers, gets sick again. So the baby is taken away from her and she's in the hospital. But when they bring the baby back, that's when she starts getting well again. And one story that was in the newspaper a few months ago down here in the U.S., a woman delivers twins. They're premature. They're put in, you know, intensive care. She can't be in there with them. And one of them is dying. So they tell her, if you want to hold your baby, it's dying. You can hold it again. She takes the baby, holds it against her chest. It starts to suckle from her nipple and comes back to life. And that's the benefit of massage, of touch, to newborns and to anybody. So you know, I've seen this with one of our dogs, because there's a book out now called The Energy Cure, where cancer has been cured in people and in mice by the hands. And I've been healed of injuries by healers. But we had a dog who was supposed to die of cancer. His name was Oscar. And the vet said, I have never seen a dog this sick recover. He had a malignant melanoma. He said we should euthanize him. I told this to our kids, and they said, you don't put your patients to sleep, you're not putting Oscar to sleep. So I brought him home, and I loved him, massaged him, shared my meals and my vitamins with him. I mean, he was just lying on the floor, and I was feeding him with a spoon and loving him. And before I knew it, he had stood up, was on his feet, eating, and a week later, out the door with our other dogs. And he lived for years with no sign of cancer. And when I read the book about the energy cure, I realized that's what I was doing to him. I had cured him of his disease with my hands, my energy. You know, the way I put it is, I'm not the source of the energy. I'm not the battery, but I'm the cable. And I'm bringing the universal energy and healing ability into him. And it happened.
Beautiful. And I love, so I mean, there's a spiritual aspect to this, but there's also the scientific aspect of just touch itself raises your
right.
positive hormones.
Yep, yes. See, children, I mean, infants, who are fed the same amount, one is massaged, one isn't. The child who's massaged gains weight faster and the brain develops faster. And I know this as an adult when I'm massaged, how it relaxes me and affects me and my thinking and mood and everything else. So, you know, we're made for contact and touch. You know, what's sad is when people are brought up with rejection and indifference and abuse and not the love and the touch. Yeah, it takes its toll. Yeah, I mean, there was an article in our paper today that women who are sexually abused early in life are more likely to develop cancer later in life. You see, so again, the things that I was called crazy when I'd say to people, what's going on in your life? And these things are stored in us. I mean, a doctor a few months ago was telling me about this woman with a terrible problem, and nobody seemed to be able to cure it or fix it. And I said to him, get her to draw some pictures for me and just email them to me and let me look at them. And one of them was a heart, you know, like a Valentine heart, but with a crack at the top. It's broken. And there were 20 drops of blood coming out of it. And I said to the doctor, ask her what happened when she was 20 years old. And the email I got back just reflected on what a disaster that year was in her life. And all those things are stored in her. I mean, to quote Alice Miller, our childhood is stored up in our bodies. See, and if we don't heal our past or abandon the past, the body finally presents its bill.
So, Dr. Burney, that's a really important, I want to take a couple of minutes to touch on that, because I know so many people, I'm also a survivor of abuse. I grew up in foster care. I've talked about it on the show many times. For the most part, do have released quite a lot of it, but there are a lot of people that I know personally who have had some kind of event happen in their childhood or their early adulthood that they just cling to so tightly, and they act out of fear of repeating this problem again and again down the road, even though the past is gone. They're essentially replaying and recreating this drama constantly in their lives. And what, from a medical standpoint and from a Dr. Burney standpoint, what is one or two things that these people can do to heal from that past?
I mean, to really understand they are the problem. I always say that the only thing we're in control of is our thoughts. So what I'm thinking about, I decide. And the way I put it is, because this happened to me after a robbery that occurred in a hotel room my wife and I were in. I mean, the door was open. Somebody knew what we had in there and took everything. And I carried that resentment with me till I realized he's still robbing me. Because if you're spending a good portion of your day, you know, hating him and wishing you were back in the hotel and getting even and catching him. And so I let go of it. And, you know, one of the ways I let go was to say, you know, hey, if he bought his kids, because it happened around Thanksgiving, so Christmas time came. And I thought, hey, if he bought his kids Christmas presents, what he robbed from us, hey, I'll give him another $100, let him get something really nice for his kids. And it just, I just let it go. That's it. And that's why I use the word abandon. You can abandon your past. Otherwise, people are still abusing you, robbing you, depriving you because of your, how you're spending your lifetime thinking about them. And when you, what I call reparent yourself, and what an abused and depressed teenager said to me one day was, you're my CD. I said, what do you mean I'm a CD? She said, you're my chosen dad. So what I would say, each of us love each other. Give the love. I didn't say you had to like what people were doing, but let them know they're worth loving and that you accept yourself as worth loving. If you have baby pictures of yourself, put them up around your house and love that kid. That's a divine child, no matter how your parents or others treated you. But the authorities in your life are hypnotic, so they can give you... See, if you're hypnotized, that's part of why it's hard to get rid of it. There's a book called Biology of Belief, how a parent's words up to the age of about six are really embedded as if it's a hypnotic trance in your brain because of what the brain is like. And so it can be hard to come out of that, but you can learn meditation. You can get into therapy. You know, there are ways of getting it out instead of just blaming. And I'd say one more thing. What I've learned is there are some people who enjoy, as crazy as this may sound, their illness or their abuse because that's what gets them attention. Say, if I didn't have this history and I wasn't complaining or I weren't sick, nobody would pay attention to me. But you need to find the love and the nourishment in a healthy way. So think of your trouble as hunger. When you're hungry, you go get something to eat. You don't like how you're feeling, ask what nourishment do I need in my life, and go ask for it.
Beautifully said, Dr. Burney. And, well, it's just about time to wrap up the show. So I first of all, want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
And
let me say, if people want to get in touch, I don't know if you were going to mention it, my website is BernieSiegelMD.com, and they can communicate with me there if they have something they want to chat about.
Definitely. And you are on Facebook as well.
Yes, and, you know, all the books and tapes, if they want to order things or articles I've written, they can send me questions. It's all connected. Yep.
Wonderful. So, BernieSiegelMD.com?
Right.
Yes. And the book we're talking about today is A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. And is there anything that you'd like to say today for a Christmas wish or a end of the new year or end of the year?
When you're on programs, almost everybody, because I never stop talking, says to me, Bernie, we're running out of time. and I say that's the message I try to get across to people. We're all here for a limited amount of time. We're all mortal. So enjoy your lifetime and watch the gift you then get.
So beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Burney, for being on the show. I know you're
Marie.
Such a busy guy, so thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Take care. Happy holidays.
You're a good listener, let me say that.
Aw. Well, I'm going to go back and listen to the show again, again and again on podcasts.
All right. You know, we all need to listen to ourselves. Helen Keller, blind and deaf from the age of four, said, deafness is darker by far than blindness. So listen to others, listen to yourself, and you'll find the solution.
Thank you, Dr. Burney. Well, you have
Thanks.
A wonderful holiday and Happy New Year.
Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. So again, that was Dr. Burney Siegel. He is the author of A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. You can find him online on Facebook or on his website, www.BernieSiegelMD.com. And yeah, just in time for Christmas, The Book of Miracles. And you can find him on Facebook as well as me. I am Marie Bernard. This has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Coming up in just a couple of minutes is Parts Unknown. And yeah, again, I will be back for the first Monday of the new year with Anna Taylor. She'll be live in studio. And next week, I'll be playing the Kwanzaa episode because the show falls on Kwanzaa, December 26th. And we've been speaking today about love and miracles and acceptance and just opening yourself up to all of the amazing possibilities that life has to offer. And since this is going to be the last live show of Synchronicity for the year, I just want to send my love to you and my appreciation to you for tuning in all year and being a friend and listener of this show. And I'd just like to remind you to take a moment today and open your heart during this holiday season and just feel that connection to the universe and that love for all of us, because we're all connected and we're all here just to really help and support each other. So I love you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you next year. Happy Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. The years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Certainly seem to be having a good time out there, Sprocket. I like it when they have a good time.
Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you. mama thanks a million.
The music says it all, but we'd like to say it again. Thank you, from all of us at CITR, for your generous support during our 2011 fund drive. We just couldn't do it without you.
You made a million dreams come true.